We are going through the book of Mark, and today's lesson is from chapter 6. And as you saw, the topic is going to be our unappreciated God. The series is called The Walking with Jesus. I thought I would go through Mark really fast, but I decided to go rather slowly, and so that we can look at several passages. And then the theme or the basic message that the Lord gives in the Gospel of Mark is the time is up, God's rule is here, so change your ways and trust God for your salvation. So we kind of see that theme going through the whole book where Jesus is going to do some actions which is different than what they had thought that God's kingdom would look like. They had thought God's kingdom would be God coming and ruling on the earth and defeating Rome, but instead, it's going to be where Jesus will demonstrate that he has God's power and rule on this world by having victory over, as we have seen, many illnesses, diseases, and doing miracles like feeding of the 5,000, etc. And if you remember two weeks ago when I spoke, we talked about two ladies that received the healing of the Lord. And that's where we finished last time we went through the Gospel of Mark. And today the theme is the unappreciated God. Matter of fact, there's a subtitle, Him, the Mason, and that's what the people are going to say about the Lord Jesus. Now, you're all familiar with being unappreciated. I remember one time we were watching a show where a comedian was talking about how the lady will do all the work and the guy would come in all through the day taking care of 2-3 children, and when they come, and at the end of the day, the husband would come and say, I had a very busy day, so what have you been doing all day at home? So I'm sure the ladies that are at home taking care of children, where's Nim? She could identify that it is just not an easy job taking care of children all through the day, but yet sometimes it goes unappreciated. Or you're at a work and you work really hard and you finally get everything done, and then your boss comes and says, well, how long did you take to do that? And why did it take so long for you to do that? And you think, wow, he's not appreciating or she is not appreciating my hard labor. Or you do a amazing PowerPoint presentation and people would just walk away and say, that was okay. And you think, I just spent 40 hours making that PowerPoint presentation. That's why I don't make amazing PowerPoint presentations. Yeah, so you know what it is to be unappreciated for who you are. And the Lord Jesus faces a similar situation in this passage that we're going to look at. Two sections, two sets of stories, Mark chapter 6, 1 through 13. Now, I love this picture. I saw this like 10 years ago. And I'm keeping this picture. You know, this is a horse or donkey, I guess, that worked so hard and they overloaded it. The first time I saw it, the caption on the bottom said, you thought you had a bad day. And once in a while when I have one of those horrible days and one day people don't appreciate it, I look at this picture again. Reminds me, my life is a lot better than what that little donkey is facing that day. Yeah, that's what the unappreciated life is like. So we will look at the story, the first six verses to get it started. The first six verses says, Jesus went from where he was, and he was at Jairus' house, if you remember. He had gone there on his way. A lady had met him who was for 12 years having a blood issue, and Jesus healed her. And then at Jairus' house, Jairus' daughter had died, and Jesus raises her from the dead, right? So that's the kind of miracle that he had done. Before that, we saw the story of Jesus walking on the water, calming the wind and the storm. Before that, he had fed 5,000 people. So you see a lot of stories up to this point, but now when he returns to his own father's village, and the disciples followed him. When Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, as it was his custom, and also later the disciples do the same. Sabbath was their Sunday, and the Lord Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. Many, hearing him, were amazed and said, "Where did he get these teachings? Who gave him this wisdom and the miracles that he performs with his hands?" Right? They are really curious, but it's more than a curiosity, as we would see the next verse. They're going to actually insult him. The Lord Jesus, unlike what we usually think of him, was not from a very lofty family. Matter of fact, his dad was a carpenter. We don't know anything about his mom's work, except she was a young girl that marries and has Jesus at a young age. And we will see in a moment that he also has sisters and brothers. And we don't know anything about him, except most scholars think he was just an ordinary peasant. He didn't go to school. He didn't study under a rabbi like Gamaliel, like Paul does. Just an ordinary person. So they're wondering, where does he get these teachings from? Who gave him this wisdom? And how could he perform all these miracles that we see that he performs with his own hands? And then comes the insult. Is he not the craftsman? The tecton. Now, some of your translations would say, is he not the carpenter, right? And that's the reason I have the craftsman. The tecton was a word that meant more than a carpenter. He could have been a stonemason. He could have been a carpenter. We don't for sure know what was his work, but basically what they're saying is, hey, he's not an educated guy. He's just an ordinary guy, craftsman. And then they go on to say, son of Mary, and they don't say anything about the father. The father himself was a craftsman. And his brother, Jacob, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon. So they list out all the names and say, well, Jacob is not that smart. Joseph is not educated. Judas works in the field. And then Simon, he's just an ordinary guy. And that's who Jesus' brothers are. So he could have not learned all his wisdom. He could have not had all the miraculous power from his family. And they add one more insult, aren't his sisters here with us? Basically what they're saying is, if you look at Jesus and his family, they really are not very remarkable people. They're ordinary people. So where does he get this wisdom that he speaks so eloquently, like we know from the Sermon on the Mount, and the miracles that he does? And they were outraged because of him. You can imagine in that culture, we in general don't make a big distinction between educated people and uneducated people in a normal advanced society. I had to be really careful how I say this. But if you are in a culture where teachers have automatic elevation because they studied in such and such places, I don't mean any insult, but when I went to Northeast India, where they have high respect for people with education, right? So everyone would sit around us and say, teachers and teacher, Lori and I went there. They gave us great respect because in that culture, you respect people with education. Well, not so in Jesus's culture, except Jesus is not an educated person. He's a craftsman. His families are all craftspeople. They know the sisters, they know the brothers, and none of them are educated from Gamaliel's family or some other family. So the Lord makes an important statement there. A prophet is not without honor. It's another way of saying prophet has honor everywhere except in his own father's place, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Yeah, this, by the way, as a preacher, and I don't want to shame my family, but that's the first thing that happened when I had boys with me, and we would get into the car, and we would drive home after I do a sermon, and I hear about all the bad things I had said in my sermon, right? And it's just, you really don't sometimes appreciate the people that you are around. That's what the Lord is saying. A prophet has great honor wherever he goes. People follow, people listen, people ask him for miracles, except in his own hometown. So when the Lord comes to his own hometown, there is no honor among his relatives or in his family. Now, there is a reason why the Lord says it, which is in the next scene, and that is he was unable to do any miracle there except to heal a few sickly ones. He healed them by laying his hands on them, right? He marveled at their lack of faith and went to the surrounding villages to teach, right? So when you didn't, when these people did not value who Jesus was, they didn't have faith to put on him for him to heal. And as a result, he couldn't do any miracles among them. They had no faith. They said, ah, isn't this Jesus, the craftsman? We know his dad. We know his mom. They're just ordinary people. We know his brothers. They're ordinary people. And we know his sisters. Nothing remarkable about this family, right? Because they make that conclusion, they go on to the next stage where they don't want to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And because they don't put their faith in the Lord Jesus, he could not do any miracle among them. Now, there is a lesson I do want to talk about. This happens, this last part. We talk about the prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Everywhere else he has. This is we usually use it in connection with prophet, but think of our own God. Yeah? How does our life usually act? I was taking a taxi to church, and the taxi driver was saying, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to church." And he actually asked me, "What are you doing at YMCA?" And I said, "No, I'm actually going to a church at YMCA." And he said, "You know, one thing that makes me think of the God of the Old Testament. Now, this fellow is not a Christian. He says he is a fierce God." And I thought, that's an interesting statement for a non-believer to make, because we are just like that. We have become so familiar with God around us, and we know his goodness, we know his kindness, we know the salvation we have, but we rarely think of him as a fierce God. That's not the word that would come out of my mouth. First thing about God, I would probably say love. Now, if you remember Psalm 2, the one we read early on, it talked about how, why do the nations rage against God and God's son, the king of Israel? And then it goes on to say, God laughs at them. And then his fierce is so fierce, in an instant he gets angry and he takes care of them, right? But in a way, we forget that side of God. Not that I'm saying we should be afraid all the time. It's just that he had become so close to us. We call him Father. We address him every day. We pray. We don't stop and see. There's a harsh side to him, right? We forget that side of him, which I think an outside person sees it. He, this driver this morning, he knew an attribute of God that I had kind of overlooked because he had become so familiar to me, right? And that's the danger of this verse, that when you don't appreciate God for who really is, you could miss out on something. And in this particular case, the people here missed out on getting healing from the Lord Jesus because they just thought of him as just a craftsman. We know his family, we know his brothers, we know his sisters, so they didn't seek out for him, and then they didn't have faith in him, and as a result, they did not receive any healing, except they missed a great opportunity. He moves on to the neighboring villages. People in Nazareth missed out on the privilege because they just said, well, this is just Jesus. We know his parents. We know his mom. We know his sisters. We know his brother. Where does he get all these education from? Right? And they didn't want to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And because they underappreciated their God, the Lord Jesus, they missed out on a great privilege, right? So that's the first lesson that I want us to learn, that when the opportunities come and we have a tendency to underappreciate God or not appreciate God, I hope that you would stop and say, this is the God that parted the ways. This is the God, part of the sea. This is the God that provided manna. This is the God who sustains the people and the world forever. This is the one God who provided for Asang's and Nim's kids to go to school. Yeah, appreciate God so that he deserves the right appreciation that he receives. Now we come to part two of the story. And that is somehow connected with the second part of the story, verses 7 through 13. So now they have rejected him. So Jesus moves on, and he called the 12 disciples and sent them two by two after giving them authority over the unclean spirits. He instructed them not to take anything for the journey, no bread, no bag, no coins in their leather sacks, and extra or no extra clothes, except a rod and to wear their sandals. Now, scholars have gone on into a lot of lists. Now, why can't they just take a stick? And I have heard people say things like to chase away dogs. We really don't know, except he is asking them to do something. Don't go on this travel thinking you can sustain yourself. Don't take your bread, don't take your bags, don't take money for the travel, don't take extra clothes. Just go as you are, and then when you go, when you enter a house, remain in the house until you leave the village. But if somebody doesn't listen to you, if a place does not welcome you, or the people don't listen to you, leave that place. And in that particular culture, if you take your shoes and dust off the dust, that means it will be a testimony against that people and that people group, right? So he's saying, when you go on this mission trip, two by two, he's sending them out. Go with nothing that you can depend on yourself, right? You are going almost like a beggar from place to place. And if they take you into their house, you stay in their house. But if they kick you out, shake off the dust and move on, right? I have found this is a hard principle to follow, especially for missionaries. I know many missionaries that have lived in a place for 20, 30, 40 years, and not wanting to move. Yeah, and I always think, why can't they follow what the Lord says? If you're kicked out, move on, right? At the same time, though, I think there is a lesson for it. The Lord Jesus just faced that in his own hometown. His own Nazareth, they said, oh, isn't he the craftsman? Don't we know his mom and sisters and brothers? And they kicked him out, and he moved on. The same way he is preparing his disciples that when you go to a certain place, they will accept you, then stay and teach them, do miracles in their place. But when they kick you out, just walk away. Yeah, don't try to fight and stay there. That's how the Lord Jesus prepares them. The disciples went from there, preached to the people, repent, and they cast out many demons. The Mark's gospel is a bit graphic. It says they rubbed olive oil on many sick people and healed them. Okay? Earlier we were told Jesus just laid his hands on them and healed them. But Mark tells us the disciples did further. So you can see the story here. Jesus gets rejected from his own village. And he doesn't fight to stay there. He moves on. And then he prepares his disciples for a very similar fate where they will be received in some places and then they will be rejected in some places. Yeah, and Lori and I, as missionaries for the last 23 years, we can testify to that. Sometimes, even before we start sharing the gospel, the people are willing to accept it so quickly. There had been times when Lori had to say, are you sure you really want to accept the gospel? Because the kids are willing to accept the gospel in a hurry. And there had been times I wondered, is this person really serious? Because soon after I share the gospel, the person is willing to accept the gospel. But then there are times people would just say, no, I don't want to hear anything about the gospel, right? And that happens a lot in Christian, it's harder when it happens in your own family. Yeah, Lori's own family, some people have said, no, I don't want to hear anything about Christianity. Our own son has said that to us. He grew up in a Christian home, but he doesn't want to talk about God anymore. He's an atheist. And then we have had other people tell us their own family members don't want to hear the gospel. You share the gospel, but when they reject, you move on. Okay, that's the basic message that the Lord Jesus is giving. To summarize today's sermon, basically, the Lord Jesus' village didn't appreciate his worth, so he couldn't do any miracles there. They couldn't put their faith in him, and so he didn't bother to do any miracle. They missed out on a great privilege. As we saw earlier on, let's not miss out on a great privilege of underappreciating our God, right? The second, he didn't give up. Instead, he trained others who were unappreciated. All the disciples were also uneducated people. Most of them were fisher folks, and some were in some kind of business, like Matthew was a Levite, and that was not really a good business because he was a tax collector. People didn't like tax collectors back then. And so he took the people that are unappreciated and he appreciated them. He taught them that that's how their life would be, but at the same time, he put value in them. He saw them as his own disciples and he trained them. So these are today's lessons, principle for us to follow. Number one, get used to this. People don't always appreciate us. Yeah, I think about this story a lot in my life. We would think if Jesus was around us, who could make food all the time, walk on water, heal the sick, wouldn't we overuse him? I think we would. Yeah, wouldn't we say, oh, I know a friend who has a sick mom. I want you to go to his house. Let's go. Yeah? Or somebody else is really needing food. Let's go to their house. You can make some bread for them. Yeah? We would want to utilize his power. Want to be, say, well, this person needs your help. That person needs your help. Right? But you see that Jesus' own people didn't appreciate him. So when you don't get appreciated, don't give up. That's the next lesson. Move on. That's just the Lord did. He didn't fight to stay in. He didn't fight to prove his worth. He didn't fight and say, I'm going to heal all of you so that you would all appreciate me for who you are. He just moved on. He went to another village that would receive him. And finally, we should appreciate and prepare others who too go unappreciated. That's the thing I really like about these two stories. Jesus could have said to the disciples, well, they didn't accept me. I'm so mad. Let's just go somewhere else. That's not what he did. He said, well, they didn't accept me. That's their loss. But I'm going to send you two by two. So that's six more places I'm going to send you, where you can go and be instruments. Some will be benefited by you. Others, of course, will reject you, but go. And so he uses this opportunity of his rejection to train other people who too would be rejected or probably unappreciated. He invests his life in them so that they go unappreciated. Well, that's my lesson for today. Yeah? When you face unappreciation, remember, the Lord Jesus faced it. Yeah, his own people rejected him. His own people couldn't put their faith in him. They thought, this is just Jesus that we know, right? So instead of fighting it, the Lord Jesus moved on, and then he invested his time on other unappreciated people. But I like to finish up with not with the negative lessons as much as a positive lesson. In our own lives, let's take time to appreciate God who spends so much of his time with us. We don't see it all the time, yeah, with us. Something awesome happened last week, and I'm still mind-boggled about it. Moon in the U.S. was in the Western Hemisphere, or at least my boys in this picture. Moon was going through some kind of an eclipse, and so it turned completely red. Yeah, and as people were watching that moon and the eclipse, and it's all over the news, there was a little tiny bright spot on the bottom of the moon. Now, the last whole week, scientists are trying to figure out what happened. What was that really bright light coming from the bottom? Yeah, now the recent conclusion is a meteorite hit it, and it's the explosion. Yeah, I wanted to say something else. I think that was the Lord doing a flashlight, saying, while you are looking at me, I am looking at you. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's how I take that to mean. I thought, what an awesome, it's like a rainbow, the Lord saying, I'm in charge. Yeah, you're all looking at the moon. I want you to show something a little bit more so that you can talk about it for 2 weeks. I've loved that picture. By the way, when you go home, Google and see it. It's just absolutely awesome to see that little tiny bright spot in the moon. Let's appreciate the Lord so that He could do more with us. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we really are grateful for all the blessings that you give us in our lives, the way you take care of us from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. And even throughout the night, you care for us. You provide for us much more than what we ask and expect, like you did for a song and hymn this week. And I know we can look back at our own lives and see so many blessings. So many people have so much grief, but yet you protected us from having extreme grief. You watched over our children. You watched over our families. You watched over our health. You provided us food to eat and health each and every moment. Help us to always thank you and not be unthankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.